play like that. There have been some new additions that have been added to the body of Christ, besides Maddie, which we're thankful for. She just celebrated her one-year birthday. So she's doing well. Yeah. So she's a sweetheart. But I know the Storks have a new addition, and we've got a new addition in our home, a dog that Tricia Fonda now has. Her name is Paris. Yeah, sweet little dog. And Todd, they have a another addition to their home, a Labrador. And the dog's name is Tanner. Something that you go through when you acquire an animal is you go through this process of training them, correct? Because you want them to do certain activities that you would really like to see them do. Like going outside and going to the bathroom rather than your home or on your bed or wherever. And sometimes they get a little stubborn, rebellious, and so you have to keep working with them. Is that right, Todd? Or?
That's exactly right.
Yeah, yeah. And training them to go out through the doggy doors and, you know, all these sort of things. I don't know if you remember, there was a wonderful painting that was done a number of years ago. It was a picture of a gentleman with a German short-haired pointer. And underneath it said, "Training with love yields loving obedience." And I think about the time and effort and energy that we put into training ourselves on our work situations, getting knowledgeable, engineering, weather forecasting, window cleaning, estimate, all the things that everyone does in their secular work. And I think that same principle applies to us too. We're still all in a process of training. And a lot of times we have to remind ourselves and train ourselves to think a particular way about a number of given situations. Would you agree with that? Yeah. And so the training is in learning how to bring God's solutions into your particular situation. You might say speaking God's word over your situation or into your situation. Because if it is of a spiritual nature, senses, knowledge, and the things that we are going to try to apply to make things better, generally do not. They fail. And so our training is to learn how to apply spiritual solutions into life's circumstances, life situations, and things that defeat people. And this happens constantly, day by day by day, where we're all challenged with so many different things. And then a little bit, I'm going to share some things that, you know, I personally have been sort of exposed to and I've been putting into practice in my own life. God will work with you however it is that you need to have that happen for you. I tried desperately to come up with a name for this teaching, and I still don't know what the name of it is, but we'll figure that out. But if you want to look in Isaiah chapter 42, we'll just go ahead and start there. Isaiah 42. Training with love yields loving obedience. What a great statement. Isaiah 42:10. That's not the verse I want. That one says, "Sing unto the Lord a new song and his praise from the end of the earth, ye that go down to the sea and all that is therein, the isles and the inhabitants thereof." The one I'm thinking about says, "Don't be afraid because I'm with you." 41:10. Well, I was close. King James, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Another version says, "Don't be afraid, I'm with you. Don't be anxious, because I'm your God. I keep on strengthening you. I'm truly helping you. I'm surely upholding you with my victorious right hand." God is there at all times. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. These are common things. But yet there are circumstances, there are situations in people's lives that continually and constantly come to be strongholds in a person's life. And we live in a culture that is very focused on distracting people. And maybe you never feel like this, but stress in our culture is just amazingly powerful. How stressed, how uptight, how worried, how anxious you feel. And you just can't seem to get away from it. I read a chapter in a book by Joyce Myers this week called Be Anxious for Nothing. In there she has a chapter called The Warfare of Rest. And how I think sometimes we really have to fight for it. But rest is not necessarily a passive action. It's just not doing anything. But it's entering into the rest of God, which he talks about in Hebrews chapter 4. What a, I say a dichotomy. I'm not even sure I know what that word is. But where it says, let us labor therefore to enter into the rest. What's that about? Let us labor to enter into the rest. We should look at that. Hebrews chapter 4. Because we all do a lot of labor, and I know that. One way or another. Yeah, that Hebrews chapter 4, boy, there's so much in there. Verse 11, there it is. Oh, but let's go back a little bit. Let's go to verse 9. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Well, maybe that labor that we're attempting to accomplish is to not enter into it by our own works, in our own strength, in the flesh, trying to surmise all these things that we hope will bring us some sort of peace and rest and enjoyment on the inside, and many times those things fail. And so, not only us, Christian people, but millions of people around the world suffer from these same types of things. And therefore, television has become a, what would you call it, a placebo? It's something that you can kind of like mindlessly involve yourself in, because it's kind of numbing. You know, for the most part, unless there's some sort of real active action, you know, and then, But the adversary, the enemy, is very wise in terms of, you know, what he's... And obviously, this is not a teaching about the evils of television. You understand that. But, and there are plenty of other things that are available for people to escape into, you know, in their world, in their life. But God has a different plan. And I thought that was so great in Isaiah 41:10, where he says, don't be afraid. I'm with you. Don't be anxious. I'm your God. I keep on strengthening you. I keep truly helping you. I'm surely upholding you with my victorious right hand. Many of you, have you ever heard of Joseph Prince? Do you know who that is? Yeah, he's a Korean minister, has a pretty large following and whatever, but he said something here that I thought would be worth repeating. He said, many times believers are not experiencing the breakthroughs they want because they are not speaking out what they believe about the Word, but are speaking out about what they see, what they feel, and what they experience in their circumstances. For example, while many Christians believe that by Jesus' stripes they are healed, they are not speaking in line with this truth. Often they speak about their symptoms and what they feel. This headache is killing me. I feel awful today. I just knew that I would catch this flu bug from my colleague. Others just suffer in silence. Literally, they don't say anything, good or bad, because they have resigned themselves to their negative situation. Is this God's will for men and women who are Christian people?
See,
but the enemy is so skilled in getting us distracted away from maybe some of the practical truths that we could then put into implementation to see godly success. But God doesn't want us to suffer in silence or put up with any sickness or any lack. His will is for you. Hey, this is the will of God. Healthy, prosperous, full of joy and peace. Anybody have a problem with that? That's the will of God. Health, joy, peace, prosperity. That's why He gave us the power to change circumstances. And that power lies right here. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. We rarely think about what we say in life. Because words are a dime a dozen, kind of, you know, just blah, 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 blah. We're just rattling off all these things, and sometimes we don't even know why. This is a great little insight into the prayer that Solomon had when God asked him, Solomon, what do you want? Solomon said, I need an understanding heart so I can judge the people, because I don't know how to go in and come out. I'm like a little child. Remember this record? You know that word understanding heart means a hearing heart? He prayed for the ability to hear from God. Oh, that should be really the cry of all of our hearts, is to hear and distinguish the voice of God amongst all the other voices there are in this world that are vying for our attention. Speak to me, Father. Jesus had the PhD of all PhDs in this particular skill. He learned and knew how to walk with the Father. He could distinguish the voice of God. And Jesus had stress in his life. How he responded to it was completely different. See? You can speak positively into your negative situation and see it change for the better. So it's not just a matter of believing the promises of God. We speak them. We speak them out. There's so many exhortations in God's Word for us to be speaking the Word. Go, stand, speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. Says that they beheld their threatenings and prayed and asked God for more boldness to do what? Amen. Speak the word. Speak the word. There's power in the spoken word. Our enemy knows that, so he just does whatever it takes to shut people down so they will no longer speak up. Speak up. Now, Lord, behold their threatenings and grant unto thy servants that we may be filled with all boldness to do what? Speak the word. And then the next couple of verses say, and the Holy Spirit filled the entire place and the room shook and they spoke the word of God with what? Boldness. That doesn't mean you're just going nuts and you're down on the street corner. It means you're speaking the right thing at the right time. You're speaking the appropriate thing. You aren't a coward when it comes to speaking the word. You're courageous. Thank God for that person who spoke the word of God to you. Or you wouldn't be sitting here right now. Right? No matter what they're doing, or whether they're alive, or they're asleep, or whoever they are, or wherever they are, it was just that one moment in time. Bam. Talk about power. But Isaiah 55:11 says, we don't even have to go there. Most of you know this. It talks about the Word of God not coming back void. It accomplishes that which God designed it to accomplish. See? We have such a huge knowledge of the Word. So it's not just a matter of believing the promises of God. It's a thing about speaking also the promises of God. So let's say perhaps you're suffering from a sickness that doctors say. Remember, this is Joseph Prince. I'm still reading this. You're suffering from a sickness that doctors say you have to be on a long-term medication for, and your heart's desire is for it to be healed. Or maybe you have a debt that you need to pay off. These are needs that God has taken care of through Jesus Christ's perfect work on the cross. So instead of talking about how bad the situation is, start speaking life into the situation. Speaking life, the power, the promises of what God's Word says in the situation. And so you speak directly to it. You say, sickness. He says, be plucked out by your roots and be gone from my body in the name of Jesus Christ. By Jesus' stripes I am healed. Instead of worrying about your debt, say, I call my debt supernaturally conquered and canceled in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus Christ. See. My God supplies all my need according to His riches and glory. If you want to see good days, then keep your tongue from speaking unbelief. And release the power and life of the Lord through your mouth into your situation. Well, that sounds so simple. Until you're in the situation. And you're experiencing symptoms. You go to the doctor and they say such and such and so and so. You feel weird. Your heart's palpitating. You're in sweating. You're thinking about going to the ER. You hit your hand with a hammer. I mean, we've all been there. And so it's not a thing about suppressing your feelings or pretending that sicknesses don't exist. Oh, you're not really sick. Well, yes, I am. I'm throwing up. What do you mean? I'm sick. Or you go to the doctor and they see you have such and such and so, and you know. So we don't necessarily deny that those things are occurring, and that the sickness doesn't exist. But God wants us to walk by blank and not by blank. Walk by faith and not by sight. Wow, that's a challenge. Remember, believing is the title deed for things prayed for, the evidence that they are yours before you actually see them? That's kind of a weird... I mean, that's something different. We don't live our lives generally like that. We want to see something and then... Bob, I'll believe what you're saying when you do it. I mean, that's just driven into our minds. You know? And obviously we're supposed to turn around spiritually and say, okay, well, I just believe for something that God will just bring it into being. We have to really work with our training our minds, right? Training our minds. So God, He wants us to walk by faith and not by sight. Speaking the good news we want to see, on the other hand, gives us hope. It builds faith. It changes things for the better as God's power is released. In the creation account of book of Genesis, God created good things by speaking. For example, He said, light be, and light was. God saw the darkness, but He called forth what He wanted to see. If you want to start seeing good things happen in your life, start speaking and declaring the promises in God's Word about your situation. It's not a formula. It's not this magical, mysterious type of thing. It's the truth. It's the truth. There's a lot of things out there. But what we're interested really is in the truth. See. So, he summarizes by saying, if you want to see the power of God coming into your circumstances, you really need to realize that it's not about what the doctor says, your friends say, or even your enemy says about you that matters. It's what you say about your circumstances, your future, and your life that matters. I don't care what anybody in this blasted earth has to say about what they think about what you are doing or not doing. What do you believe? What are you saying about it? What are you confessing about it? Have you given up hope? Our answer is just gone. Everything works in the Word, sort of, until it gets to my life and what I want to really see happening. Oh, it'll work for you, but I don't know about me. It's about what you say about your circumstances, your future, your life that matters. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. So you say what the powerful, life-producing Word of God says about you, your future, and your life. It's not a sweet little formula. It's not a mathematical equation. It's you taking your life and submitting it underneath the will of God, which is truth in life situations. God said, remember in Isaiah, and He says it all over the Bible. I mean, we could go everywhere, anywhere. I keep on strengthening you. I'm there with you. I'm on your side. I'm fighting for you. I love you. I want to be seeing you so happy, so blessed, so joyful, so prosperous, so healthy. Okay, well, bring it on, I guess, you know, I mean. Something, man. How about if we look at Psalm 27? Psalm 27. So I'll share now with you what something I believe God really worked in my heart to do for my own practical situation. I'm a human being just like you are. I have things in my life that cause me at times to be oppressed, which then cause me to maybe to be a little depressed. I don't know, you fill in the blank. I guess it comes down to how much are you willing to take? How big a capacity do you have to manage your own problems until you have had enough? Because there's only one person who's really going to decide in your life if things are going to change or not. And that's you. Yeah. And here's what I recommend is you just tell it to stop. Just like those dogs. Tanner, stop. And you know what your expectation is? That dog's going to stop. And if he doesn't stop, you're going to drag his butt back over there and make it do whatever you're going to need it to do to get it to stop, right? How about if you feel depressed? Can you speak to depression? Can you speak to oppression? Can you speak to condemnation? Can you speak to jealousy, envy, lack of need, whatever it may be? It gets so confusing sometimes, we don't even know what to speak to. Because we can't even identify it anymore. It's just like, blah! You know, it's just all in one big, ugly pimple. Right on the end of your nose. But someone's got to say, stop! Stop. Or the enemy will continue to rob us because he knows what power the church had and has, and he knows what kind of individual you could be if you simply believed what God says about you. And so this is what I believe God showed me to do in my own situation to keep my head on top of my shoulders and not under my feet. It started initially with some very simple confessions. And this is how I would wake up in the morning. I would read these things. And it helped me to, I feel like, be more productive and get on top of my mind. Because I wake up in all sorts of different ways. Maybe you do too. Some days I wake up, I'm anxious the moment I wake up. It's just so weird. Other days I wake up, I'm very, very peaceful. Some days I wake up, I'm like, you're startled awake. That's the weirdest. Other days, you're just kind of, you know, sometimes you wake up before the alarm clock goes off. Sometimes afterwards, or sometimes during, or you overslept, and then it's really ugly. But, especially if you're late for work and all that. This is what I said to myself. See yourself receiving good things. Expect the favor of God. Expect His blessings. Expect to increase. And expect promotion. What am I expecting in my life? I have to control in some ways. Of course, God's got good things in store for me. But But I want to have that expectation of receiving good things, receiving the favor of God. I don't know if you went to Psalm 27, but there's a great verse in verse 4. It says, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple." My heart's desire, seeking God. First and foremost, not seeking an answer to my problem, because there will always be a problem. And the problem is me. You have good days and bad days. Jesus said, don't be anxious about all these other things. Just seek God first. And all these other things, well, reality is, you're never going to be problem-free. So forget about it. But we could be fruitful. You know, there will be things come up in life that will challenge you. Will challenge you royally. But it's how do you respond to it? Do you react or do you respond? You know. So that was the first one. And this is the second one. Be more determined than what the obstacle is. There is always a way when God is involved. So is He involved? Be more determined here to see beyond the obstacle, beyond the circumstance, to get God's involvement in the situation. See. Be more determined. Make up your mind. That's what we're talking about here, training your mind to think a certain way. I release all selfishness and condemnation of the flesh, and I receive to myself His goodness and righteousness with a merry heart. This makes me feel good. I say this to myself. I speak the word to myself. Okay, that's not a scripture verse, is it? But does that line up with what the word says? Because in Psalm 16:11 it says, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In Thy presence is fullness of joy. At Thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." I release all selfishness. Get it away from me. I don't want selfishness. And I certainly don't want condemnation of the flesh. I do want to receive His goodness and walk in that righteousness with a merry heart. I want to be lighthearted. And sometimes that's not so stinking easy. Sometimes you just feel so intense, so burdened, just so... You know, and people who are more lighthearted are irritating then. But yet, you kind of have a desire to be like that. You want to be like that, you know. Yeah. There's a great verse in Psalm 123:2. That I can read or you can look at. "Behold, as the eyes of servants look unto the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon Thee, O Lord our God, until that He may have mercy upon us." Keep looking at the Lord, right? But we got to do things in our own life practically. So how about this one? "I will allow His grace to transform me into the image of His Son and accomplish in and through me great and wondrous things." I read all of these things in the morning just to help my mind kind of get there. Because I may not waken up feeling like this, you know. And then I'm reminded, I want to allow God's grace to transform me into the image of Christ and accomplish in me and through me great and wondrous things. Remember Joshua 1:9? "Have not I commanded thee, be strong and what? Of a good courage. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." Actually, these are great verses to memorize. They really are. Here's one. "Looking at circumstances does not bring the solution. Do not allow discouragement to overshadow the good things of this life." Oh, Barney, you're always seeing the glass half full. What's the other option? Seeing it half empty? You want to look at the bad side of things? You know there are optimists and there are pessimists, right?
Which one are you?
How do you look at things?
I think we all know people who always are looking at the glass half empty, right? They don't see a bright thing about anything.
And you know what? I'm not really drawn to that type of person, because I want to be around someone who's upbeat, who's positive, who helps strengthen me and build me and encourage me, because that's the kind of person I want to be. I think that's what God has for us. So many verses, so many scriptures. Here's another one. I will allow His peace to rule in my heart and keep me from worrisome thinking and living.
Okay.
Philippians 4:6 said, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all under.
I just don't want that as a scripture verse. I want that, personally.
And so I'm going to give entree to the fulfillment of that word of God in my life by just saying simply, I will allow peace to rule in my heart. I don't have to pray for peace. I already really have peace. So now I'm just going to let it, I'm going to will it to and to allow it to rule in my heart and keep me from worrisome thinking and living. Oh, worry? Yuck. Anxiety? Yuck. Stress? Yuck. It's all yuck. Right? We know. I believe God will bless me no matter what. No matter what kind of person I am. I expect to see the favor of God at work on my behalf. You mean I didn't get up early enough today and read my Bible and speak in tongues and witness and all this? You know, those are all wonderful things, but that's not the condition upon which God loves you. God loves you. Now, that's just a subject for another day, but another teaching. It's man who puts conditions upon things. God, you know, He knows things that are good for our benefit and that sort of thing. But how about I believe God will bless me no matter what? No matter what. I expect to see the favor of God in my behalf. And here's another great one. Learn to enjoy the journey, not just the destination. Because we will never arrive at a place where everything is perfect and we have no more challenges. Don't wait. Enjoy your life now. What are we waiting for? All the bills to be paid? Retirement? The return? I don't know. Fill in the blank. I think it's possible. And this might be my own opinion, and if so, then it is. But I believe it is possible to enjoy life now. Why not? And so, you know what? I'm going to say that to myself. I'm going to enjoy my life now. I believe it's possible to enjoy life now. I think God wants me to enjoy my life now. Because it's the only life I have. Right? So you see what I'm saying here? We got to be proactive in speaking the word of God to ourselves. That's loving ourselves. The two great commandments, right? Love God and love others as whom? Yourself. Christians are some of the hardest people on themselves. See? So, you know, you just got to kind of lighten up here a little bit. You know, quit being so intense about it all. And just let God be God in doing good in what He does. Because He's got it covered. You know. So we learn to enjoy the journey. Look at Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. We're not covering necessarily a million scriptures here, but these are practical points of things that God has worked with me in my heart to open my day. I want to receive from God those things that He has for me. And I have to put myself in a place to be receptive to that. Because God doesn't overstep, right? Mm-hmm.
So I mean, I'm going to be like, here am I, send me. I mean, here am I, this is what I want to be, or, you know.
I don't care what comes against me in my life. I'm going to stay full of the joy of the Lord. I've made up my mind that I'm going to live my life and be happy, and that I am going to enjoy my life.
And devil, you can take all this other stuff and go back to wherever the hell it is you came from. Because if the devil can rip the joy of the Lord out of your life, he's got you. Because it says that the joy of the Lord is what? Your strength. And if it has been ripped from your life, it is a sad day in heaven. So, Philippians 2:5. Let the same attitude and purpose and humble mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus. Let him be your example in humility. We're in control here. That's one thing the Spirit of God gave us the ability to do, is to say these things and to speak the beauty of this powerful Word of God. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, right? Piercing even to the dividing center, soul, and spirit, the joints of marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the tip. Read throughout the Word what the Word says about itself. God said He magnified His Word above His name, so there's got to be some kind of power if you and I can speak this Word to ourselves to bring godly results. Enemy, he don't want this. Because one day somebody may actually wake up and realize who they are in Christ. And then you know what? You can't really shut up about it. Go stand, speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. They receive more boldness to do what? Get out and speak God's Word. It's not a religious activity to speak God's Word. It's what's flowing out of your heart as a result of what you're getting delivered from and seeing God work in your life. That this Word is not just a fairy tale. It actually works. And so we all come to the point of decision. Is it working? And if it isn't necessarily, which I have to kind of address that thing in my own life at times, if it isn't necessarily working, then God and I have to work in partnership to get things sort of rolling. Wow. So if we're going to live a life of peace and not be frustrated and unhappy all the time, we need to learn to be flexible, and we need to be willing to make some adjustments. Another translation of that verse which Bob Carden shared in Philippians is, let this attitude be in you which was also in Christ. Oh man, attitude is different. We think of mind as kind of like, ooh, this ethereal sort of attitude. Wow. Because you know you can have a positive attitude and a negative attitude, right? You can say this sucks, or this, I'm going to get involved in this thing and see what I can do to change it. See? And I'm not saying that's easy. I mean, a lot of times that's very challenging to do. But we have to learn to really be flexible, to let this mind of Christ be in us and to dwell upon the things of, you know, the Word and what God has given us. Oh, man. 2 Corinthians 2:14, I'll just speak it. But thanks be to God who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of Him everywhere. That's how people are reading the Bible today. Our lives. Our relationships with other people. We have to take a committed stand to get in control of our emotions. Emotions are very, very, very powerful. If you haven't noticed. And we can't allow ourselves to just get upset and aggravated at every little thing that happens. We have to be a little bit more, I guess, easygoing type of thing. And maybe say to ourselves, I'm not going to let that
take my peace. I'm going to rule over my emotions. I am not going to allow myself to get upset and aggravated. I am going to choose to be happy. Life is not all about being happy necessarily. But man, it sure makes life a lot sweeter when you are. Because if you're upset, you're all frustrated and anxious and PO'd about everything and everybody and la la la, life's no fun anymore. It just, it has no purpose, you have no hope, you're just kind of, you know, getting through the day to the next day to the next day. And, you know, I know we've all been in challenging circumstances and situations, but, you know, we got to keep just being faithful. So, here's one more. We'll kind of wrap things up here. And this is it. I let go of all the things that hold me back from doing what God is leading me to do. Today, I choose confidence and not to be a coward. To choose to have strength in Him and not in my own ability. That I will really trust no matter what. This is where the rubber meets the road. In life situations as they come about. See, and taking the time to cease from our own works, to enter into that rest, so that we are at peace and still enough on the inside to really pray like Solomon did for an understanding, a hearing heart. Father, work with me and help me to understand and get me to that place of hearing from you so wonderfully. Well, this is really what I wanted to share. We'll close this verse, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. About speaking the word into your situation. Boy, if you've ever had the privilege of speaking the word to someone else into their situation and see them respond, oh my gosh, it is one of the most amazing things that you will ever participate in if you see a person's life transformed before you as a result of the words of life that you have spoken. And many, many of you in this room, if not all of you, have had that opportunity to speak the word of God to somebody and see them transform and change. And boy, we have a lot of thankfulness because of that. So Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, it says, let us therefore come what? Boldly. There it is again. Come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We need an abundance of that. One closing thought. No one can make you feel inferior without your consent. No one is making you feel anything less than what this Word of God says about you besides you. And a great... Somebody didn't... I don't even know. I'm sure they were a Christian. Maybe they weren't. Eleanor Roosevelt said that. No one can make you feel inferior without your consent. If you feel inferior, you feel unworthy, you feel unforgiven, then you've given over to it. You've allowed that. So, it's not like that's the unforgivable sin. It's not like that can't change. You just change it. Change it. Change it today. Why not? Says the truth shall make you free. We want to be free. Free. See. But we've got ability within ourselves to help in partnership with God to accomplish these breakthroughs. See. It's not all God and I do nothing. It's together we work. So, a lot of great things to think about here. About speaking the word into your situation, into your life, and seeing the benefit of it. Heavenly Father, thank you for this amazing Word of God and how powerful it is to bring to us the fruit of believing, Father. I know we covered a lot of bases here, but Father, most importantly, that we work with our hearts and our lives to get this Word just so ingrained into our heart that, you know, we can be like David, that get that Word in our heart, Father, and that it protects and guides us in so many given situations. So pray for a blessing upon all of God's people here, that they can go in peace and live in grace, Father, that they can have great expectation to see you at work within their lives, and that we can all walk in a greater amount of deliverance day by day by day. Whatever it is, whatever situation, whatever circumstance, that we just continue to keep our eyes fastened upon you. And so we pray about these things and just speak a blessing over God's people here today. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, very good. Thank you.